Welcome to Wednesday night service. You guys can see Dave is not here. He wanted me to give you guys an update. He called me today. He wanted you to know that the church that we went over and built, you was there at Wheatley and Wendell, Dobbs, and Hunter.
Oh, the one up at Michigan.
Yeah. They said that in the service last night, there was 400 people at that church. Yeah. They said they're going to have to start talking about an addition. Because I don't know. I don't think it can fit 400 people in that little building. But anyways, said he's seen over 40 people saved. Ackham has started, I believe he said, 3 new churches. And so things are going really well over there. Sounds like the evangelistic work that we are a part of is something that is being furthered for the purpose of the gospel, seeing souls saved, seeing that country receive news and the good news of the gospel. It's in a lot of places where they've never heard it. And so that's just a glorious thing to see. And what's really wonderful about it is that we're sitting here in Tennessee and we get to play a part in that. And so God is blessing us in that, and we need to thank God for that opportunity. And we need to thank God for a pastor that has a heart for that. And also pray that God gets him back safe to us. What he told me today was that he said, "I know my heart." My heart here to see souls saved. He said, "But I'm missing my people." And so he's looking forward to getting back home to us. And he mentioned many people by name that he just is praying for, and he just is looking forward to getting back. So let's remember our pastor and all those. And like I said, we've got 2 other pastors over there, Jim West, and Kevin's with him as well. So let's pray for them and pray for those churches that God will bless them for loaning their pastors out like that for the time to throw over to spread the gospel. I guess we'll open this up for other prayer requests. Does anybody have anything on your heart?
Hey, John, or Sean, let's remember John Terry. He had a stroke on Sunday. I spoke with him, though. He's doing fine, but he is requesting for prayers.
You say John Terry, you're talking about Jerry Daniels?
Yes. Yes, sir.
John West, Mom wanted me to make sure Mom's not feeling good, so remember Mom in prayer too. John said that, or Mom said that John is going to be having surgery Friday. I didn't get a lot of information on exactly what she was having surgery on, but I think it had something to do with some hernias, but I'm not positive. So let's remember her in prayer as well. And let's remember Betty and Rick and my Uncle Rick and my Aunt Betty. I believe Rick's doing better, right, Mom?
Yeah, so he may get a Friday.
Anybody else got anything?
We have a friend
in
the family. Her name is Renee Stevens. She's real, real bad off with cancer, and she's going through a real hard time right now. She's in a lot of pain. I just pray that she makes it through the other side with, comfort.
We got a new coach that moved in this year. His name's Sam Montgomery, and one of his best friends from down in Squatchie County today. One of his best friends, a log truck turned over down there and killed his 17-year-old dog. Let's remember that. Let's remember them in prayer, the family in prayer. father losing his 70-year-old daughter to rust up after spring that manager and his wife. Anybody else?
I'm glad to hear Sean about say let's got the good news from Zambia.
Yes, sir.
Just continue to remember those people and the little guy that worked at the lodge up there at the lake. I saw him on Facebook. Well, he's moved over to the soccer. Let's pray for him, Gideon. Witness to him when he was over there that year when he got saved. So let's just remember him. It might be the same if you go back without him, but I'm glad to say most of all, but he just died for me. Just pray that I can make it back there.
Pray for Emily too. I don't know if she's going to make her request, but you guys don't know this, but Emily's fixing to spend an entire year in Africa, and to have that on your heart to go and do, let's just pray God just blesses her and makes everything accessible and prepares a way in front of her. It's just a blessing that you're willing to make that kind of sacrifice for life. And I hope God just finds you a fellow and you guys end up missionaries on the field out there somewhere.
I would like to say thank you to God for praying for me. And I know that there was a lot of people in this church praying for me when I really needed it. And I just like to say thank you for that. And I would like to make a request. One of the guys at work just had surgery on his arm, so he's going to be out recovering for quite a while. And his name is Mark.
Let's also make sure that we pray for Awana. Last Wednesday night, we saw two souls saved over here on Wednesday night service. And there was probably about six or seven more kids that lifted their hand. They was lost and needed to be saved as well. So let's pray that the Lord moves over there. Jordan, he's already done the message over there, but they're currently teaching lessons. And sometimes the kids get saved during this time period. Right now, lessons are being told. This is when a lot of times when they're working one-on-one, not one-on-one, but they're working in smaller groups with the teachers in the classes. So let's make sure that we pray that God just keeps his hand on that situation with those little tender hearts there. It's a good time for somebody before they get too tangled up in this world to go ahead and trust Jesus Christ at an early age. And you guys pray for them.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Sean, I would want you to pray for my family and a co-worker and also someone I met yesterday that's in a good position to witness to some young people.
Yes, sir. Anybody else?
Have a passion in the heart and good. I pray the gospel to the most powerful and the help us accomplish that goal. I pray, God, for John Terry, God. I pray, Lord, they said he had a stroke, God. He's a lot younger than me over there. I just pray, God, that you would bless him, bless his family, heal him, God, and bring him back. God, I pray, Lord, for John Keaton, God, a good Christian pillar in our church, God. I just pray, God, that you would bless her, God, that you would pray to have surgery to heal her. I pray for my uncle Rick, my aunt Betty. I just pray, God, that you bless him, God. Let Rick come home, God, and heal him, God, and get Betty back here to church with us. I pray for Renee Stevens, God, in her health situation. I just pray, God, that you would heal her, God. I know what it's like to have a family member going through what they're going through, God, and I just pray, Lord, that you give them strength and help them, God. And God, I pray that you really will heal them. I pray for my friend Sam's friend down in Sequatchie Valley, God. I just pray, Lord, for that family, that little girl. I pray, God, that you just pour out your blessing. God, sometimes we don't know. You said all ways are not good ways. We can't even understand your plan. And I know you're on the throne, God. You have a plan for their life. God, you have a reason for everything you do. And may it greatly be accomplished. I pray, God, for Brother Lee. I pray, God, to make a way of getting back to Africa since he has that heart desire to go. I pray, God, to just keep him healthy, keep him able, give him the finances, just pour everything he can, give him the follow what you have him to do. I pray, God, for the man over there. He said it was a man named Gideon. God's over there, and he's moving to another place. And God, I know this much. You asked about it in the Bible. You said, who will fill the hedge? I know you've already prepared a man to stand in that same spot. I pray, God, you already put that man in place. I pray for a water, God, is there over there now.
Yes.
I just pray, God, that each and every one of the little hearts is over there.
Yes.
I pray that the gospel is presented plainly and simply to them, just like it was to me when I was a little boy. I couldn't handle anything hard, God, because I didn't understand it. I pray, God, that we'll just present the gospel as you did, that whosoever will. I pray, God, that if there's anyone over there lost, it gets saved tonight. I pray, God,
yes.
God, thank you, God, that you take your heart of heart's desire to go over to Africa and spend that time with her. And I just pray, God, to pour out her blessings and just make things happen, God, to where she's able to be over there and stay the whole time. And I pray for the man that she talked about, Mark Pryor, God, and I just pray, Lord, you'll help him with his arm, God, and just bless him. I pray for my cousin, Rodney, God, and I pray, Lord, God, I see he's got my life so busy that I don't even have time to visit some of the most dear friends that I got. And I just pray, God, you just bless him, God. And thank you, God, for his friendship in my life. And I just love Robbie, God. And I just pray, Lord, that you help him and comfort him in these times of needs. God, I pray for Alan Davis and God. Somebody in this church, God, I remember his daddy, his mother being here in this church. I just pray, God, you just bless him. And I just pray, God, you pour out your blessings upon him.
Yes.
God, I pray for Gary and his family, God. And I pray, God, you bless his family, God. As he always makes requests, I just pray, God, that the request he made for his co-worker, God, and not to witness the table to be able to be done. I pray, God, that you'll just honor and honor everything, God, that is done there, God, and that you be glorified in it and souls are saved.
Yes.
Lord, God, as we go into the rest of this service, I pray, God, in this service, that everything is done for the soul part that's loved up and glorified in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, if you guys will open up Bible to John chapter 21. We'll start the first verse. I don't have anything complicated tonight. What I have, and I ain't saying that I could ever really give you anything complicated. What I want to do tonight, in these times that we have, I want to give you a word of encouragement. I was watching, when I was sitting at the house and I was getting ready for this, Patty had the TV on, and it was David Muir, I guess that's his name, is that right? The news broadcast guy. But anyways, he said they were talking about COVID going back up in different places and percentages were going back up and all this stuff that was going on. And then they talked about, they were talking about trials where people have went through all these different things. There's just lots of bad stuff seem to be on the news. I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, we could lose hope. You know what I mean? We could sit and get all down and get all kind of lost in it. And it's just, it's the same thing, like at my job, I could sit and start to look around at all the problems that's going on and start to get kind of down over things. But we're not a people without hope.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a difference in the people sitting in this room.
Yeah.
We're a people with a hope.
Amen.
And even though we look around, we don't know what to do sometimes. We just sit around and sit there and say, I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know. I don't understand. And God has kind of put on my heart here lately that His ways are not my ways and His thoughts are not my thoughts.
Right.
And I don't have to understand what God's plan is.
Amen.
I just have to understand that He's in control and that He has my best interest at heart.
Amen.
That's all I got to worry about.
Amen.
And that puts me at ease a lot of times. It helps me look at things. But I want to talk about a scripture. And I preached this message to lost people. I've seen souls saved for the message I'm preaching tonight. But that's really not how I'm preaching tonight. I mean, I'm preaching tonight to a bunch of people. I mean, pretty much everyone I see in here has made a profession of faith. I don't see anyone in here that has not. So I'm preaching to saved people. And so the term that the Lord put on my heart in here is a little bit different from this message. So I've never really looked at this thought like I have today. So as we read this, I want it to be a sense of encouragement. And I want to paint the picture of what I'm talking about here in this way. This was a time of uncertainty. This was a time of confusion. And when I say confusion, I don't mean confusion this way of not knowing what the next step's going to be. Like, where is this going to go? Because every time we turn around and we say, things are going to be better tomorrow, and then gas prices go up. Everything's going to be better, and then you can't get no bread on the, everybody goes and buys the bread out of the Walmart. You know what I mean? It just seems like that, you know, there's always something. And it just seems like that, that the certainty that we've always had is not as rock solid as it used to be. You know, I remember as a young person hearing people talk about hard times and wondering what that was like, you know, and wondering what it was like to grow up during the Great Depression, you know what I mean, where there was true uncertainty. And so in this message, I want you to think about the uncertainty with these people that's in this conversation, okay? All right, so let's look at the first verse of chapter 21. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. Now, I want you to understand, there's several times that Jesus showed himself to the disciples, and this is going to be one account of those accounts, okay? It's just going to be one of them. So what's going to happen here in this message, or in this story that we're going to be reading about, and understand that the story we read about is not a story in the way that we would say, like, some people stand up and teach the Bible as if it is a truth instead of the truth. This is an actual historical event that happened.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what scientists say that it could have happened or didn't happen, or if it was just, there's some truth in it. It is the truth. It is the inerrant word of God.
Amen.
And I trust every word that's here.
Amen.
The reason that I trust this Bible the way that I do is because I have put all of my hope in nobody else but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And this book is where I find that hope.
Amen.
It is always showing me and pointing to one person, that's Jesus Christ. The day that I got saved, I was indwelt with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And my spirit, and it bears witness with my spirit that I'm one of His.
Amen.
When I read this book, I know this book bears witness to me that this is the truth, mm-hmm. and it shines a light in the direction I need to go.
Amen.
And there's many times that when I wonder as I read this book, why I don't read it more. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Why in the world? Because in my daily walk, there's all these decisions that I have to make. And the more I read this book, the Holy Spirit brings those words into my mind to help me make those decisions. I'll read this book more so that I have a better way to make decisions in a wise manner to honor God. So anyways, so I want you to understand that this is telling you everything that happens here is about is one of the accounts that Jesus showed himself. I want you to understand too that this is after the death of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? So Jesus has died. This is the disciples are together here, and Jesus is not with them. Okay, and the next part of the story. So they're all together. They really are kind of asking, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do next. And many times as Christians, we find ourselves in that same way. What do I need to do for the Lord? What is my purpose? What do I need to do? What is the next thing? So you start asking yourself in today's time, what's my job? What is the purpose of my Christian life? So we come here and it says, so the account starts in verse 2, and it says there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. So we understand that everybody here that's mentioned in this story are people that walked with God daily for 3.5 years.
Amen.
They walked with him every day. They saw everything he did. You realize these people saw Lazarus rise from the dead.
Amen.
You understand? These people saw the woman with the issue of blood who touched the hem of his garment. They seen it. He saw the blind man say, I can see. They saw everything that he did for 3.5 years.
Amen.
They watched it all.
Amen.
All these guys did. And I want to tell you something. I've seen great miracles in my life. I saw people saved that I never thought would get saved.
Yeah.
I have saw God pour his life out, pour out his blessings on my life over and over and over again. I've seen the miracle of birth. I've seen God do miracle after miracle after miracle in my life. Just like God done miracles in front of these people. Doesn't mean just because of the miracles that I see, if not somebody raised from the dead, God still done great works in my life.
Amen.
He saved my kids.
Amen.
He came to a spot in Georgia and not a part of the world. And my whole family started going to church after that. I've seen miracles. I would have never guessed. I'm telling you, I was a third grader when that happened. I would have never guessed my dad would have ever darkened the door. And I'm not lying, right, Mike? I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. I would have never guessed he would have went to church. God came and knocked on that door. I saw miracles happen in my life. I saw it. I saw things happen over and over and over again where God's poured out miracles. And so I want us to understand that all of us have seen God's hand move in our lives. But we still find ourselves in the same place these disciples are. Even though they lived 3.5 years, even though they lived all that time with Jesus, they ate with him, they was right there. He promised me he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's with me all the time. I can talk to him.
Yeah.
I can just get up in the morning. And I can just pray to him. I can just ask him for my help. I can just talk to my God every day. He's there right there. Anytime
Amen.
I need him, any moment
Amen.
I need him, he's there.
Yes. Amen.
But yet, with all that being said, I still find myself in the same place these disciples do. Myself. I don't know what to do. This is where they are. Let's read the next verse. The next verse says, and Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth, and I'm losing my eyes. I'm trying to wipe these tears out of my eyes. I'm sorry. He said, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So I want you to understand that they just went on about their business. They just went on. Understand that what all their job, these men that we talk about here, the sons of Zebedee, we talk about James and John, we talk about Peter and his brother in this story, they were commercial fishermen. You understand? By trade, they fished. That's what they did. So you know what they did? They just went back to work and went back home with their lives. They just got up and went back to work.
Yeah.
That's all they did. They just said, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to go back to work. And he got up and he went back to work. Now, in the rest of this scripture, when they go back to work, it says that they just toiled. And maybe they just wasted their time because the Bible says they caught nothing. So it tells me, obviously, I'm 56 years old. How many days have I gone around catching nothing? Just pulling. Just more worried about just going to work. More worried about everything else except for what God had me to do. And I just think to myself, how many times have I found myself in the same positions of these people, and if these men can get disheartened and forget the goal of what they're supposed to do and just go back to work and just forget about it. I mean, man, I've never laid eyes on them in person, Brother Allen, but I'm looking forward to the day I can.
Amen.
Because when I get to see it, I know that I won't forget him anymore. I know there won't be days that I'll go without reading his word, or there might be days I go without talking to him. There will be times I won't ever just go on and forget of all the miracles that he's done in my life. All the blessings he's poured out on me. He put me in the freest country that's ever been. Here I stand, and God's been good to me. I owe him. I owe him to not forget. I owe him not to forget. I owe him to remember of the great things that he's done in my life. I ought to remember. I ought not forget.
Amen.
But if these disciples who live beside, I mean, I'm talking about Brother Lee, they laid down and slept right beside him.
Amen.
Hey, he washed their feet. He was absolutely everything in their life for 3.5 years. They didn't do anything else but spend time with him. And they still just said, I'm just going to go back to work. Let's go on. And just told them and catch nothing.
Yeah.
He told these same men, take up your net and follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men.
Amen.
They forgot. They went back to fishing for fish. And they forgot of the purpose. There was a day when I bowed down on this altar and he saved my whole wretched soul. And I wanted to tell the day I got up from this spot, I wanted to tell every person I knew about Jesus. I couldn't understand at that moment why everybody wouldn't want to have Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is the greatest thing I ever had. Somewhere along the line.
Amen.
I just went back to work. I just went back to fishing. I just went back to fishing for the wrong kind of fish. They just went on a fishing. Let's read verse 4. It says, but when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. I just stopped for a moment. And I say to myself, how many times in my life has Jesus showed up on the scene and I didn't even know he was there? How many times has he just been pouring out his blessings? Milford used to, I don't know if Milford had this story, but I just remember him telling this story, and it may not have been him. But he talked about there was a fellow that was roofing a house one time. It was a real steep pitch roof. He said that he was roofing that house and he got sliding off that house. He says, oh, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. And then all of a sudden, a nail caught him by the pants. He said, never mind, Lord, this nail's got me. that story has stuck with me the rest of my life. Because all of a sudden, we forget that quick. That quick. All right, Lord, I don't need you now. And I guess when I sit here, I wonder how many times I've seen him right there on the scene. Right there. One of those times when he said, if you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it for me.
Yeah. Amen.
One of those times where he talks about if I just hand out a glass of water in his name, I'm doing it for him.
Amen.
How many times have I just, he's been right there on the scene, and I didn't even notice it. One of those things where the Bible talks about entertaining angels unawares, you know?
Amen.
I just wonder how many times I just forgot he was there. The Bible says in the morning. Bible says, the Bible teaches us that those that seek him early find him. Okay? This is her. Tells me I'll start my day a little different. I'll start my day not in a hurry, but in God's word. In a time of prayer. Remembering in the painful moments. You just go over. I mean, you hear that old song they used to sing, count your blessings, count them one by one. I mean, could we imagine just sitting in the morning, just going through and saying, let me just take some time to just remember the things that I know you did for me. And just go through it in the morning. And remember who he is. Because, I mean, most mornings I just get up as if he didn't even exist. And just get up. I'm in a hurry. I got to go. I got to go start my day. I've got all these things I got to do. And that's what the disciples did. They just got up and they went fishing to the point that they looked over and Jesus Christ himself, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, stood on the bank. Now, I know it's not dark because it said it was in the morning. They could see him. It says here, and they knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? Now, I'll tell you guys something. That ought to make every one of us stop and drink. Because he's going to ask us all that question today.
Amen.
See, one day there's this thing called the judgment seat of Christ, where every believer is going to give an account. He's going to give an account of what you did with the life that Christ gave you.
Amen.
Every one of us. And one day he's going to ask me that question. He's going to say, Sean, have you eaten meat? And I'm going to have to answer for every time that I did and did not spread the gospel, and even all the way down to the reasons why I did it. The Bible teaches us that all of our works are going to be tried by fire at that time. Every one of them. And all those things that we did in the flesh, meaning that we did for our own self-glory or something that made us look good or something, some reason just because anything other than the call of Christ, the Bible refers to that stuff as wood, hay, and stubble. And in the fire, we all know that stuff don't make it. But then it talks about some things called precious stones. It talks about gold and silver. Things that the fire does not burn away. And so what are those things? What are some of those things? That's got to be the things that when I talk about a precious stone, maybe that's the souls that I've led to the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe it's some of the souls that I witnessed to, and then eventually someone else led to the Lord Jesus. Because the Bible says it's some water, some soul, but God gets the increase,
yeah. Right?
God does.
Amen.
Well, maybe that's some of those precious stones. Or maybe some of that gold and silver might be this. Maybe some of that gold and silver might be the fact that some of the mistakes that I've made in my life, some of the times that I've stumbled and I've fallen, and then God's picked me back up and put me back together. And then later down life, I run into someone else that's going through the same situation that I am, that I had gone through. And I'm able to take a moment and say, let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you about the silver lining in my life. Let me tell you about how he took an old dirty rotten sinner that deserved hell. Let me tell you about what God did for me.
Yeah, amen.
All of a sudden, that starts to shine like gold and silver. That means something to God. That means something to him. All of a sudden, I begin to say, all right, I understand what you're trying to tell me here, God. And I can see it. Jesus says, have you any meat? I'm just telling you, I didn't even mean, I thought tonight when I've done this message, I didn't think any tears would fall out of my eyes. I didn't think any of that would happen. I thought it was just going to be a matter of fact. But I'm going to tell you something, I dread the day. Now I got to look in the eyes of the nail-pierced man that died for me. Tell him that I forgot about him in most days.
Yeah.
Tell him that I just, most mornings I was too busy. Most times. says here in verse number, finish this verse, it says, they answered him no, which means that we will give an answer on the day of God, guys. We'll give an answer. And I'll have to look him in the eye when he asks me a question. If I've done nothing, I'm going to have to answer truthfully. No, I did not. I wasted way too much of my time. And so they answered. They said, no. And he said unto them, cast ye net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find it. Now here's where the Bible gets very, very plain. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 11, that his word will not return void. The Bible teaches us that if we'll spread the gospel, if we'll tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, if we'll do those things, that we'll see fruits from our labor. Now, what I mean by that is, it says, and ye shall find. It says, cast your net on the right side of the ship. Now, some people get all caught up in, well, I don't know for sure if, you know, your plan of salvation is exactly the right plan of salvation. I don't have a plan of salvation. You understand what I mean? God does. And I can talk about, you know, I've had people sit and say, I just don't think that a loving God would send people to hell just because. And I've heard him say that.
Yeah.
I've heard people say, well, I believe that if you're, you know, you try to be a good man and you try to do this and you try to, you know, live with a gold rule, surely you would make it. Well, that's pulling all night on the wrong side of the ship. Because he says there's a right side of the ship to drop it down. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, it says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
I think I quoted that correctly. Mm-hmm. It says here in verse chapter 10, it goes on in verse 11 to say, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Leave that one verse out when we talk about it. Not be ashamed. How many times as me as a Christian have I been too ashamed to, and when I say ashamed, to go up and tell somebody, the lost people that I know in my community about my Savior, Jesus Christ, because I'm worried about what they might think of me. I'm worried that it might be too abrasive for me to go up and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he died for you. And that he's going to come again one day. And all you got to do is believe and trust in him as your Savior, and you can live eternity with him. I don't really know. I think about it, and I know we all worry about being uncomfortable telling that. But the Bible tells me I'll not be ashamed to tell that. I'll be willing to tell everybody and everyone I can there's a right way to do it. It says on the right side of the ship. So that means it does not matter what I think about what salvation or who I think he's going to send to heaven or who I think he's going to send to hell. It matters what this book says.
Man.
And this book says that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means those that don't, they don't get to go.
Man.
That's not my opinion. That's what the book says.
Amen.
And I like that. My grandson, Boston, says, he quotes Dave all the time. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. And that's the truth. The Bible says it. It's not my opinion. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20, that knowing this first and no prophecy in the scripture is of any private interpretation. Amen. It means what it says, and it says what it means.
Amen.
And so, there's a right side of the ship. We could toll all day long, dropping our net down in the wrong areas and talk about all the social norms. reforms that we need to do and all the things that's politically correct and try to win people over through all these different grand ideas. But the truth is, the good news of the gospel is just a simple plan.
Amen.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we need to tell them about the good news of the gospel.
Amen.
And the truth is, the Bible tells us for the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us that the Bible teaches us plainly that without Him, there is no salvation.
Amen.
The Bible says there's salvation in no other name. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Just
Amen.
One name, Jesus Christ. There's a right way. There's a right side. It goes on here in this part of the next part of the scripture. It says, "And ye shall find." And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now here's where I was wanting to be encouraged, because I don't feel like at this point I've been very encouraging. I feel like I've been kind of negative. So let's talk about the positive part of what I'm talking about. So I know that in our families, many, many times there's members of our families that just doesn't seem like they haven't got saved yet. And sometimes we say to ourselves, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. The Bible says just to keep letting that net and keep on fishing. When I preach this message as a salvation message, I preach it like this. I preach it about the fact I came to this hole of water to go fishing. I just came here to go fishing. And I know, I don't know whether, if I got any fishermen in here that likes to go fishing. Anybody that likes to go fishing? Right? So I'm assuming those of you who like to go fishing, you probably have your favorite hole to go fishing in. And you got maybe a spot that you don't tell nobody about. I do not know where my spot is. So I'm assuming that if I don't know where it is, that he's got this spot that he goes to. When he goes, that's his fishing spot. But we seem to have this attitude as Christians that we've already fished this hole of water and we don't need to fish here no more. What I'm going to encourage you to do is to keep fishing in that hole of water of your own family. Keep letting the net down on the right side. Keep preaching and teaching and telling about this good news of that gospel to every lost member in your family, and not to give up, to keep fishing in that hole of water, to keep letting that net down, to keep letting it down, to keep asking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for some help, and say, God, I'm going to drop it where you told me to drop it. You gave me these people in my life, and I am going to continue to keep on fishing. I came here to go fishing, as Peter said. I came here to go fishing. So that gets us down to our quest here. Our quest is to keep on fishing for me.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but the most important fish in my life are the ones that swim around my house. Yeah. It just is the truth. I want to see every grandkid I got saved. I want to see every, I mean, I don't know, it's a long time for great-grandkids, but I hope every one of them gets saved. I want to see my neighbors saved. I want to see everybody, I want to see all my nephews and nieces saved. Grandnieces and nephews saved. I want to see every member of my family saved. So I need to keep fishing in that same hole of water. I need to go fishing. I don't need to stop. Maybe you've got a member of your family that you maybe said to them, well, I just don't know if they're ever going to get saved. Keep on fishing. Don't quit. Fish again today. Fish again in the morning. Fish again tomorrow. Just keep on fishing. Because he said to let the net down on the right side, just keep fishing. Fish every chance you can. Fish. Keep on fishing. Because that's what he told us to do. And I'm going to tell you something. The same God that raised Lazarus from the dead is the same God that has the power to save souls.
Amen.
And the way he saves.
Amen.
The way he saves souls, according to this book, is through the foolishness of preaching.
Yes.
There's a misnomer there. We all think that means it's day's job. Not true. That means it's our job.
Amen.
We just need to keep letting the net down. It goes on to say in verse number 6, and they cast the net on the right side of the ship, and they shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. You notice who recognized him first, right? It was John. Isn't that ironic? When it spent the most time with it, recognized him first. It says, and Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, and he girded himself with a fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 250 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. So I want to understand, they put that word in there, and I don't believe the Holy Spirit makes a single mistake.
Amen.
Not one. I don't
Amen.
Think it's one word, and I think that word dragging is important. They were dragging that net. I think it's going to be hard sometimes to keep on witnessing to our family. I think sometimes it's going to feel like we're berating them, that we're constantly saying it, we're constantly doing it, we're constantly telling them, we keep coming up over and over again. I remember I was out of the will of God many, many years ago. I was out of the will of God, I wasn't going to church, and my mom wouldn't leave me alone. She would not leave me alone. She just kept dragging me. She just kept pulling. She kept prodding. She wouldn't stop. She wouldn't see her son get back right with the Lord. Sometimes it's going to take some dragging. But we got to be willing to do some dragging. And I'm not trying to say there's any works in salvation, because there's not. What I'm trying to tell you is that we have a job to do.
Amen.
Tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's going to cause us to have to do some things.
Amen.
Some of those things may not be comfortable. Some of them are going to be hard. Some of them might even need some help.
Amen.
From our brother Fisher. Sometimes I might need to call one of you and say, I need your help to pray for a member of my family. Sometimes I'm going to need some help from my fisher brothers and sisters. Sometimes you're going to need my help to pray. Sometimes I might need, because they might get tired of hearing my voice, sometimes maybe I need to pick up the phone and say, hey, could you go over and let the net in? You know, I'd be willing to do that for each other. That's what they did. Just need to let the net down on the right side. Guys, that's what the Lord put on my heart tonight. I want to see every member of my family in heaven. And I just think what the Lord's put on my heart, and I just need to keep fishing. We all need to keep fishing.
Amen.
We all need to keep fishing. Everybody will stand. Be dismissed. Does anybody have anything on your heart before we're dismissed?
Yeah.
God bless you, brother. You're a glutton for punishment. Thank you.
Very good.
We had one of our neighbors die a few weeks ago. And at the time when I was working at the golf course the most, I wasn't where I needed to be with the Lord. And I don't know that he is in heaven. I'm not sure. And it really just hit me how much we need to be doing what we need to be doing so we can share our people.
Amen.
And that was really encouraging.
God bless you, sis. Anybody else? If not, Brother Lee, you want to dismiss us, brother?
Always good things for you to save us. We're thankful, Lord, and Sean said that you were going to save us.